couple times for you. Maybe.
Bless you, Lord.
I serve the same.
Won't let the sun shine through.
Thank you,
Cause he's got one more valley, one more hill, one more hill. Maybe one more trial, one more tear,
one more tear,
one more curve and last road. Maybe one more mile to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
Forward to getting home.
Amen.
Amen.
This ain't home no more.
That's right.
Bless them, Father.
Coming soon. Look out front there a little.
Let's sit out front so everybody can see.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Coming soon, Jesus,
yeah,
in all His glory.
What's on the news?
Not just a Savior, but a reigning.
Hallelujah.
Coming soon, and the whole world will be with Him.
That's right. That's right. Is this joy?
Coming soon, Jesus in all His glory.
Think about that. Glory.
Not just a Savior, but a reigning King.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Coming soon, and the whole world will be with Him.
Good day.
Coming soon.
Singing, amen. I like good singing, amen. Especially when it's about singing about Him, hallelujah. I want Him to come right now, but at the right time, on the right day, He's going to come. Hallelujah. Thank you for the good singing. Amen. Praise God. That disciple said, amen, a woman too. I agree with him. There's neither male nor female in Christ, the Bible says. And we get it all mixed up, but God's going to straighten it all out, amen. Let's turn our Bibles on this beautiful March the 25th, Sunday morning, Psalms chapter 37. I'll try to be brief. I did say try. But Psalms chapter 37, I'm going to read one verse. And that'll be verse number 25, Psalm of David. He says, I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I'm preaching today on growing old. Pray with me and let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that teaches us such exceeding great things, has such exceeding great precious promises, that we ought to give the most earnest heed to it. I pray, God, today you help us to draw from the great truths and the treasures that it beholds. Lord, I pray, God, today you'll minister to us and through us. Whatever you, Lord, do, we'll give you all the praise and glory for it and confess ourselves to be a miserable instrument for God to use. But I pray, God, in some way you could help us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Growing old. Old truck went belly up on me this week, Monday morning. I guess the Lord had this all planned out. But I didn't get that thing running until last night about 8 o'clock, and I'll tell you right now, it took its toll on this old man. I found out I ain't made out of steel no more. I feel more like Reynolds wrap. But oh my, I pulled that transfer case out by myself and put that other one in by myself, and I have to admit I will pay somebody next time if I can find somebody that's willing to do it. But the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 90, verse number 10, that our days are threescore and 10, if by reason they be fourscore, but then we're cut off and we fly away. I've never took a flight in my life, but I've already got registered. I've already got my ticket. I'm flying away. I like that song right there. He's coming, I'm leaving. Amen. But, growing old, that's not optional. A lot of people would, I guess they'd like to opt out of growing old. They want to stay young, and they spend a lot of money trying to stay young. But as you can tell, I kind of failed at trying to stay young. I'm kind of like Paul that wrote to his beloved brother Philemon about a runaway slave called Onesimus. And he says in verse number 9, being such a one as Paul the aged, and he said a lot of good things about this runaway slave. Well, let me say this about growing old. In my car, I look over in the passenger mirror, and it said objects in this mirror are closer than they appear.
Yeah.
That's kind of like growing old. It's closer than it appears. It just slips up on me. I wake up one day, and I look in the mirror, and I said, who is that looking back at me? And it's me, amen. I mean, boy, the time has took its toll. And I look up, and I'm like, Paul, all of a sudden I'm Eddie the aged, amen. But let me say, there's no opting out of growing old. As most people would like to stay young, good luck with that. Everyone doesn't get the opportunity to grow old. Now, let me say that with charity. I sit here, look on the back. Let me say this about being young. I remember childhood memories, not a worried one. Not a worried one. And race wasn't an accusation. It was more like, I'll race you. It was kind of like competition. We'd run and play all day long. And believe it or not, we'd sleep all night long. We wore out. What happened to that kind of life? I never seen nothing like it. People don't sleep no more. And, they're going to and fro, and for lack of better words, going nowhere. But everyone doesn't get to grow old. My own daughter, she lived 17 in 1 week. I'm sure she had plans to grow old. And we never know. Old song said, maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Someone will be called out to face eternity. We know not who it will be. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. But I do remember sitting down there at my mother's house with her on that beautiful Sunday day, eating dinner there. Mom, she showed up unexpectedly. I remember looking at her beautiful blue eyes and looking at her beautiful blonde hair. And I'm thinking like a father, and I'm watching my daughter grow up. She's talking about her boyfriend, and I'm giving him down the road. And she said, well, Dad, I really like him. And I said, well, honey, if you really like him, he must be really nice. And she said, well, he's really special. I said, well, you're probably not marrying that old boy. She said, we haven't been talking like that. I said, I just want you to know you got my blessing. As much as she wanted to live to be old, as much as I wanted her to live to be old, everybody don't get to live to be old. I'll just tell you right now, Job put it about as good as it can be put. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I got it from the Lord. I had her 17 years and 1 week. I don't understand why God decided He wanted to pluck that flower out of the garden and take it home, but one day I will understand.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, we see through a glass darkly, and it seemed like in my young days, it seemed like in my house, we blamed God for everything. It was blanky blank this, blanky blank that.
Yeah.
That's all I ever heard in the name of God in my house. We blamed God for everything didn't go right. And as I got older, I realized we was charging God foolishly. Man, God was merciful to us. God was good to us. Yeah. He was gracious to us. Allowed us to see some good days. But anyway, none of us know how many days we're going to live on this earth. But let me say this. Looking back on my life, I made a lot of bad decisions. When I was young, and you can do that, and let me tell you right now, I'm making high payments and I have consequences as I grow old on those bad decisions. I was a drunk, and I'll tell you right now, I've noticed my eyes don't work too good, my mind don't work too good, and it's taking its toll. But youth is a wonderful thing if you just had some sense.
Yeah.
Man, I learned everything the hard way. Everybody tried to help me. Eddie, let me help you. Let me tell you, I wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't learn. And I said to them, why not listen to them? A lot of young people like that. They tried to tell me. They tried to help me. Who's laughing back here? I wouldn't listen. I don't know what it is about. We think we can do it. You know, even a child. I don't need no help. I can do it myself. Well, that's pretty much us. But I wish I could go back to being young and have sense. If you know what I mean. I didn't have no sense, and I just wasted my life in riotous living. Luke 15:13 talked about that young prodigal son wasted his life, riotous living. You waste your money, you waste your time, your strength. Oh, by the way, my son just this week bought a wrecked 2010 Chevrolet Camaro against the advice of his father. Hello. He just bought a house last year.
Oh, Lord.
Now, he thinks he can buy a 2010 Camaro that don't even have a front end on it.
Oh, gosh.
Man, he's a chip off old boy. I didn't teach him nothing. It wasn't anything evidently. I'm sitting there thinking, old boy, you better be careful. Because them things are expensive. It can end up being a money pit. I started praying for him right off the bat. I said, Lord, help him to get rid of that thing. I told him, I said, son, it is a nice car. Super Sport Blue, it's rare. He thinks he got a good deal on it. Gave $7,400 for it. He probably don't want nobody to know it. There it is. He gave $7,400 for a wreck. 2010 Chevrolet Camaro.
Oh, gosh.
I told him, I gave him father's advice. I said, don't let that thing be a coffin, son. I said, when you wrap that around a tree and they try to get you out of the jaws of life, you'll understand what your dad tried to tell you.
Yeah.
Man, that thing, it's 6-speed. It's got more motor underneath the hood than I've seen in my lifetime. It's some kind of L6 or something like that. But you waste your substance in riotous living. You spend your money like it's on a tree. The Bible says that it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. What that means is make all the money you can while you can. While your hands still work. While your eyes still work.
Yeah.
Why your legs still work?
Yeah.
Why you still get up and go hit the time clock? Make all you can before it gets where you can't go and
right.
Make the money. Yeah. Men, you know, I've always had a mind to work. I worked, I think I got out of school. May 30th, 1972, started to work June 2nd, 1972. I've been working ever since. But I worked even while I was in school. But it's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. He's got the means to do what he's going to have to do no matter what. I believe it or not, Adam had it made in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that one commandment that God gave, he broke it. And God said, because of that, you're going to earn your living now by the sweat of your face. We've been sweating ever since.
Oh, yeah.
Joanne's talking about wiping tears. And I'm glad he is going to wipe away all the tears, but I've been wiping sweat. I've been wiping sweat for 60-some years, boy. And the curse, the thorns, the weeds, all the pests and all that stuff that you get to fool with. That's because one man couldn't keep one commandment.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting out of this curse. But anyway, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Everyone don't get to grow old, but let me say this, growing old has its blessings. And somebody would say amen right there. Most of us are old. I don't see no young here this morning. We just maybe the youngest person here, I don't know. I certainly probably get in trouble saying that. But let me say this, that growing old has its blessings. And I didn't want to read, I was going to quote some of this, but I do want to read this because it's so important. In the book of Job, chapter 42. This is at the end. Job's done been through the ordeal.
Yeah.
He's done suffered all the things the devil done to him, and everybody thinks, you know, that God hates him and all that stuff. But anyway, at the end of this thing, we're going to wrap it up here at Job 42. We'll start in verse number 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now he didn't name them 7 thick-headed sons, but he did name them 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima. Let me see if I can say this right. Jemima. That sound right? Are y'all even looking at Job chapter 42, verse number 14? Mm-hmm. You know what that means? A dove. Y'all may not realize this, but a lot of these names in the Bible are real significant.
Yeah.
He called that first daughter a dove. That means, boy, he lost a lot of her.
Yeah.
God, you know, y'all going to probably scar him a little bit on the name of this last one. But the name of that second one, he called her Kesa. You know what that means? Cinnamon. She's pretty. Spicy, lively. You know what I'm talking about? She had a little bit of attitude, I guess. That first one's a dove. They're real timid.
Yeah.
They behave. You know, they're just kind of meek. But Cinnamon, she's one that put her hands on it. Helps her, you know, and maybe have a little bit of attitude there to deal with. But he called that last one. Put your seatbelt on there. He called the name of that third Karen. Did you get that, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Habakkuk. You know what that means?
I do it my house.
Horn of pain. She's a boss. I don't know why I ain't named her Horn of Pain, but maybe she had a makeup problem. I don't know. He called her Horn of Pain. And anyway, he got three daughters, and the next verse said they was more fair, more beautiful than all the daughters of the land. But you know how he got them? He got them by weathering the storm,
yep.
By staying with the staff. It said in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. That's a big plus. Yes. After this lived Job, listen, 140 years, and saw his sons. I just seen a picture of a grandbaby this morning. And his sons' sons, and his great-grandbabies, even the four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. That's the will of God for us.
Yeah.
To fill our days.
That's right.
To get the blessing of God on us. You might have a storm or two, weather it out. I mean, tuck and roll, baby. Whatever it takes to make it through the storm. But notice there, he had three daughters, and he named all three of those daughters. Mm-hmm. Now, grandchildren, they're kind of a plus. I mean, you might mess up being a parent, but you get a second chance when you're a grandparent.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, brother, you can't hardly mess up in that. But let me say why I said all that. I had somebody this week. I ain't driving a truck. I'm driving this car that I can't hardly get in. I can't hardly get out. It's about to kill me. I was so glad to get my truck running last night. But I'm driving this white 2000. I guess it's a Nissan Infiniti. But anyway, it's an Infiniti. And somebody tooted the horn behind me. And I looked at my rear view mirror and it's my son.
Yeah.
Let me get my glasses off there. He pulls up alongside me and he's got a girl in the car. And he must have told her, my dad's a preacher. She done something. All I saw was doppelganger. You know what they're doing? They's going to Louisville to eat chicken.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
They're going next week into Missouri, I guess, to eat gumbo. I don't know. But he's trying, you know, the guys, you know, boy trying to persecute. He drove all the way to Louisville to eat chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you know what I mean? I wish I had some sense when I was young.
Yeah.
He ain't got no sense. That same chicken here's up there. I know he wants to ride, to talk, fellowship, ask questions, and test the water and all that stuff. Eat the chicken here. Car might break down. Amen.
That's right.
And he's going to Missouri. But you know what I thought? I saw the top of that girl's head. You know them pictures y'all had? I'm sitting there thinking, look what I got. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, praise God, the blessing growing old. You can see them branches going out there, little further body. You can see them little tender plants coming in. Woo! Man, they don't call a grand for nothing. They cost you a grand then some, but it wasn't every penny of it. They take me clean it. Granddaughter got $100 bill off them this morning. Go to watch the movies. You don't ask no question. They say, you got any money, Pop? You just give them $100 and say, go enjoy yourself, honey.
Yeah.
That's what grandbabies do. They take you clean. There's a shark.
Right.
Man, they smell blood. They come like my wife's in on it now. She's learning from the granddaughter. Oh, my. But listen, my son had that girl in the car. Well, he's 30, soon to be 39 years old this year. As far as I know, he never even dated. Man. Got his own house now. Done bought him a big super race car, a Camaro. Now I seen the top of a young girl's head in his car. I wish I had someone to take a picture of it. I mean, she slid down, and all I could see was the top part of her head. That's it. You know, you remember back when you skipped school, you know, you slide down the car, you know, so nobody's, and you got some ball, you just didn't care who you seen. Hey, we're skipping school today. That first time, you know, you don't want nobody to see you scared and didn't know where you went. Well, the blessing of growing old, you get to see a lot of things. Everybody don't get grandkids. Everybody don't get to see things like what you get to see. You know, when you do like Job, just weather the storm and keep going on. But growing old has its blessings, and growing old has its burden. I'm going to spend a little while here. Now, when you start growing old, you find out, buddy, there's some things about any blessing. But in 2 Samuel chapter 19, we're going to read about a man here that King David thought a lot of him. And his name is Barzillai. B-A-R-Z-I-L-L-A-I. Now Barzillai, he's really a special guy. And David asked him to go with him. He's fleeing from his son Absalom. It's one of them judgments God brought on him because of the sin he had with Bathsheba. But anyway, as he's fleeing, we'll start reading verse number 33. The king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? Growing old has its burdens. I mean, you want to go, but you know if you go, you're going to be a burden. And King David, you know, he wants the king to go with him, but he says, how long have I got to live, king? I'm half dead. I don't have long. He appreciates the honor and the offer. And he says, I ain't got long to live. Look at verse 35. He said, I am this day 80 years old. That's 80 years old. He said, can I discern between good and evil? When you get 80 years old, you get a little bit what they call dementia, senile. I mean, man, I noticed this week, I don't know if it's been so much time I need that truck. I've been noticed I can't remember or do nothing. Mm-hmm. I've been writing notes trying to remember what to do next. And I ain't that old. I don't think I am anyway. But one of the things you'll notice when you get older, you're something up or cobwebs or something ain't connecting, the wheels ain't turning. You sit there like, I know I'm supposed to do something. What am I supposed to do? And you leave the stuff, you lose the stuff, and you're trying to keep up with everything. You can't keep up with nothing. He said, can I discern? I've lost my ability to look at things and understand what I'm looking at. Look here. He said, can thy servant taste what I eat? Now look, there's one time I thought my wife had done messed the recipe up. Because I remember how good it was. She said, I ain't changed nothing. And it wasn't the recipe. It was my taste buds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't taste like it used to. I said, what have you done to this? I ain't done nothing to it. I fixed it like I always fix it. I didn't want to admit it. There's something wrong with me, Bonnie. I mean, that thing, you know, that I enjoyed eating now, I'm thinking, what's wrong with this thing? That's one of the things, one of the burdens growing old.
Yeah.
It don't taste like it used to taste no more. And you can't tell no more, you know, what you need to do and when you need to do it or even how to do it. You can't discern. You can't taste. You don't have long to live. You look also in verse 35. He said, I can't hear no more. They got these commercials now. What? What? What'd you say? What? And his son said, I love it. He said, what? He said, no, I'm gone. And he put this thing in his ear and all of a sudden he can hear what his son's saying. He said, can I hear anymore? The voice of singing women, singing men. I'm telling you, buddy, if something goes on with your hearing, something goes on with your appetite and with your taste when you don't have long to live and you can't remember nothing no more. You get senile, you get dementia. Well, I ain't done with this. But this king here, we're going to read on down to verse 35. He said, I'm this day fourscore years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing and singing women, men and women? Wherefore then should thy servant yet be a, should thy servant be a burden unto the Lord the King? You end up being a burden. Being growing old has its burdens. You don't mean to be a burden, but you can't help but be a burden. And let me say this about Barzillai. The king, he passed on the blessing that he meant for Barzillai. He passed it on to Barzillai's son. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. And he told his son Solomon that was going to take his place as king. He said, you make sure that the sons of Barzillai sit at my table and eat at my table. That's what he wanted for Barzillai. And even though Barzillai couldn't do it, he passed it on to his sons. He laid up something for them. Now I tell you what, buddy, the king wanted to give that to Barzillai. He said, just pass it on to my kids, and he did. Now when you get old, you find out you ain't going to live forever. You find out you can't taste what you eat. You can't hear what people are saying. You can't discern anymore what somebody's saying or what you need to do or nothing like that. They catch people all the time down that road. They don't know who they are, where they're going or nothing. They're just sitting there just in a coma like.
Right.
But also, you can't see anymore. Genesis 27, verse 1, talking about Isaac. He was deceived by Jacob because he couldn't see. His eyes were dim. He couldn't see. And he told his son Esau, go out and fix me some of that savory meat that I might bless you. And you know what? Jacob done what Isaac thought Esau was doing, and Jacob got the blessing, and Esau missed out on the blessing. But you can't see no more. Let me say this also. You can't go no more. I was driving out here this morning, and I looked over at the 68 Auto Savage, and there's one of them canes. Somebody forgot it somehow. One of them stands up on its own. It's sitting right there in the parking lot, right in front of 68 Salvage. Like where somebody got out of the car, walked around, and got in the other side, they left the cane. It's still standing there. Somebody didn't ever go too good because they left the cane like that. But we got to have help. They got this thing now, you can walk upright. You just somehow get a hold of it and it lifts you up and you walk like this. And they got them others, you walk like this. And they got them ones you walk by rolling the wheels. I'm just telling you, you can't go no more. Now let me give you a good illustration of what I'm talking about here. Genesis chapter number 45. Go way back here. We're talking about Jacob now. He ain't deceiving no more. I mean, he's in the real world now. And Jacob, chapter number 45, I went the wrong chapter. His son Joseph, the word has got back to him. I'll start reading verse 26. Well, let's start 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, talking about their father, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He'd been told that Joseph was dead.
Yeah.
They lied to him, and
right. You
know the story. But anyway, he can't even receive this report. And I want you to know, it didn't stop there. And Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go see him before I die. I want you to know, he had to have some help going. They sent wagons to carry. You look up there in verse 21. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He gave them provisions for the way. All of them he gave each man change of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 change of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father, by the way. I want you to know, Joseph said, I'm sending a means where you can come to where I'm at, amen. I'm glad God's going to send a means where we can go where our Joseph has been exalted, and we can go live with him, amen.
Right.
I'll tell you, buddy, when you grow old, you'll find out it has its burdens. Look in Ecclesiastes real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I'm looking at the time clock here to see where we're at. Looks like I've got enough time to finish this. I'm going to go ahead and read it all. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, starts out young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know, one thing, I didn't have much regard for my Creator in my youth. Like I said, God was a byword in our house. When the evil days, that's what growing old. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure, it ain't no fun growing old. I'll just tell you right now.
That's right.
I kind of wish I could get my youth back. Unfortunately, it's like trying to gather up water been spilled. But look here. While the sun or light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keeper of the house shall tremble, you find out you're trying to eat and you're shaking so bad, you can't get it in your mouth, you spill it everywhere. They call it Parkinson's disease. I call it getting old. I'm telling you, buddy, when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves. I've seen them. Big strong men. I seen Gary Gillen at Southern TSC this week. He said, pray for me, my necks are killing me. And I watched him. He wasn't up like this right here. He was like this. I'm just telling you, buddy, the years take their toll.
Yes,
amen. Sure. There ought to be an amen here somewhere.
Amen.
All of us looking back saying, boy, the good days are gone. But anyway, he says, the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. I'm going somewhere here. And the grinders cease because they're few. Some of y'all see me as I'm preaching, I open my mouth. You can tell a dentist made a fortune trying to keep my teeth in my mouth. And I want you to know, buddy, the grinders are few.
Yeah.
You might get that on a slow train, but if you took a good look at Brother Eddie's mouth, you'd say, he ain't got no teeth back there in the back. All he's got is the front teeth. The grinders are few. I'm telling you, buddy, years take a toll on you. Amen. But I want you to know also, these hands have worn out a million pairs of gloves.
Yeah.
These feet have worn out a million pairs of shoes and socks. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. They can't make nothing to compare with what God made us.
Right.
And these are temporal houses.
That's right.
Glory to God, we got an eternal one coming.
Amen.
That's right. Oh my. Hey, I'm going somewhere. Bear with me here this minute. I'm just enjoying this moment here. It says the grinders cease because a few, I just got a few, but they still work. We got a few on this side anyway. Yeah, because there are a few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. I mean, buddy, I might have just gave a dollar for these, but I can see with them.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm kind of like Mr. Magoo. I can see, you know what I mean? You go out to Dollar Tree, you can buy these for a dollar. I'll buy them by the bag full. I'll buy $20 at a time. I put them in a tackle box. I put them in the bathroom. I put them in the glove compartment of the truck and the tackle box. I put them in the living room. I put them in there by the computer. Without these right here, buddy, I want you to know I can't see it no more. Yeah. You know, growing old takes its toll on you. You look out the windows and you say, well, can you read that for me? Brother Danny, bless his heart, he's trying to show me and I believe it's Sharon, wasn't it? Was it me and you?
Me.
Was it? Oh, Carolyn? Okay. Me and Carolyn, he's trying to show us what he texted somebody about this grandbaby. We couldn't read it. I put my glass on it. I still couldn't read it. But you know what? You just can't see no more. The eyes don't work like they used to work no more. The teeth are, you know, they're leaving. They're kind of like departing. And man, I thank God for having them long as I have them. I don't know how long more we're going to have them. But listen, the eyes don't work no more. The teeth don't work no more. You're shaking, you're trembling. You got to help walking. Amen. The doors shall be shut in the streets. That means you just can't go nowhere. You kind of stuck at the house.
Yeah.
You're thinking about how it used to be. You get up, went where you wanted to go, done what you wanted to do, whenever you wanted to do it. Now you're just kind of hoping somebody will show up and take you somewhere, even a Walmart. I mean, you don't care. I mean, it's a good memory right here. My dad, I used to call my dad. I said, Dad, I'm driving to Berkshire. You want to go? He said, yeah, come get me. I pick him up like an old dog. Set him up in my truck. He just enjoyed going over. I'd get him something to eat. He couldn't go no more.
Yeah.
I pick him up, set him in the truck. Later on, I wheeled him out to the wheelchair, and put him in the truck, pulled the wheelchair in the back of the truck, and we'd go. And the last time, he wanted to go up there to Chinese restaurant and eat, and I pulled a little truck up there, and I got the wheelchair out, and I'm trying to get him out of the truck in the wheelchair, and a good sister and the Lord come up. She said, "You want me to help you, Brother Eddie?" I'd push your dad inside. I said, "Yeah, thank you." I went and parked the truck, and he's sitting back there at the table. I went and fixed his plate and set it there before him, and I got me a plate. And I mean, I'm eating like, you know, still got some appetite and youth and strength. He's over there looking at his plate. He's the one told me one to go out there, Bonnie. And when he passed away, that plate was still in his refrigerator. See, you just can't, you can't do like you used to do. He didn't live very much longer, but I thank God. I cherish every one of those memories. But anyway, the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the... Daddy, get up 2 o'clock every morning. I do that now. I say, "Daddy, why do you get up so early?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I get up every morning 2 o'clock now." Y'all do that?
No.
Yeah. I guess you're afraid to go miss out on something or something. I don't know. I get up every morning now at 2 o'clock.
I get up, but I go back to bed.
Well, let me give you a little bit of good news here. They're changing our hours out there at work. We're going from 5 days a week to 4 days a week. And I'll be getting off work at 2 o'clock in the morning now. I don't know how that's going to work. I'll be at Cuckoo's Cuckoo Club. I'll be Cuckoo's Cocoa Club, yeah. I'll be crazy for a while. But it'll be normal to me, and then go back to work that afternoon. But anyway, hey, listen. You get up at the voice of the bird. You're up early. And the daughters of music shall be brought low. You crank that radio up. So what did it say? Huh? Yeah, you got that volume. You know, I tell my wife, I say, we've been married 44 years. I say, "Turn that TV down." She said, "Huh?" I go back to the other bedroom. I turn the TV down about 20 times lower when she's got it, because I'm still here. She can't hear a lick. I can get away with anything. I say, "Honey, I just spent $500, huh?" "Okay." She ain't heard a word I said. That's it. Just about throw anything and get away with it now. Yeah. Beforehand, you ain't doing it. No way. We ain't doing that. That's where that we come from. But anyway, the daughters of music shall be brought low. You got to turn it up. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, you're afraid of falling. You don't get up on ladders no more. You call somebody and say, "Can you get up there and get that man? I'm afraid to crawl up here because I'm getting tired of breaking bones. I'm getting tired of getting hurt." You're afraid of heights. You wasn't before. You climb up the tree as a kid, sit up all day long, eat green apples. And you know what you do that night? But I used to do that. Sit up the tree all day long, eat green apples all day long. You don't do that no more. You're afraid of that which is high. And fear shall be in the way. You're afraid of tripping over stuff. You start clearing stuff out so you don't have to watch it and trip. I'm about done here. And the almond tree shall flourish. But listen to this. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. That's bad when the grasshopper's a burden. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those days you stepped on grasshoppers, whatever, the grasshopper, now he's a burden. That's how frail you become. Psalms 39 verse 4 says, "Lord, help me to know how frail I am." Sometimes you don't need no help. You can figure it out. You may not know what to do with it, but sometimes you realize just how frail you truly are. Right. When the grasshopper becomes a burden, you're just about bedfast. I'll tell you right now. And desire shall fail. You ain't interested no more. Now, my dad, he had a serious problem with this. But desire shall fail. You're done. Your running around days is done. Your dancing days is done. Your drinking and up days are done. Desire has failed. All you want to do is make it through a day.
That's right.
Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. I want you to know, they're talking about setting your funeral arrangements together. Mm-hmm. Or ever the silver cord be loosened, or the gold bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the foundation, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Listen to verse 7. This is the end of it. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Boy, that's going to mess up that new green deal. They're trying to save the planet. And God said that plant is just for burying your carcass in.
Yeah.
One thing about this earth, I'll tell you one thing. You get me good here. If man could destroy it, it would already be destroyed.
Yes, it would.
Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away, But my word shall not pass away. But it's going to be a long time before this earth passes away. God calls it to be clothed every spring with green grass and beautiful blooms and flowers. We see the trees, you know, right now the
red buds are blooming.
Red buds, yeah. And what's that tree everybody likes? That
Bradford
pear.
Yeah.
They're out in the dogwood, they're all blooming. We all look at them. It's so beautiful. God does that.
Yeah.
Just to let man know that He does it.
Right.
He calls the sun to shine. He calls it to rain on the just, on the unjust. He's kind to the unthankful, and they still blame Him for everything and don't want nothing to do with Him. But I'll tell you, buddy, I thank God for His goodness. God ought to lead men to repentance. I thank God for His goodness,
yes.
Grace. But listen, the grasshopper is a burden. That's about as low as it goes. But let me say this. I want to leave on a good note, Bonnie. We're offered a second chance.
Right.
Our youth will be renewed as an eagle. Psalms 103 verse 5. And I want you to know in Revelation chapter 21, talking about Jesus, He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold,
yeah.
I make all things new." Let me say, I'm ready for some new.
Amen.
How about wore this body out? It served me well. I'm looking forward to getting a new one.
That's right.
You know, you get a new house, you want to come see my house. Hey, I'm going to get a new body.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
One like unto His, eternal.
Right.
No more doctor visits.
Right.
No more dentist visits. Amen. No more. Hey, I was telling y'all, I come down that I don't know what it is, kind of sinus problem, head cold, whatever it is. I found out, you can go to Dollar General store, get some of their Dollar General brand cheap nasal spray. And I mean, don't mess around. I mean, I'll put it up in there, and I hate nasal spray. But I tried my best to blow my eardrum out with it. I mean, I got down that thing hard. Both nostrils. I let it sit there a minute, and then I blow my nose, and it must have steroids. And I felt the best I've felt in 10 years. I may start doing that at a regiment every day. Man, I felt good for a little while. Amen. But it dried that up. It dried that up within 10 minutes. I thought, I ain't sniffling no more. I can talk. Man, this is great. The boy, those steroids, it's worth it just to get that brush from steroids. Oh, my. Man, it's good. Amen. But listen, He's going to make everything new. And I say, praise God, I'm ready for some new. This world, they're on a head-on course with not just growing old, but we're going to meet God. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die.
Yeah.
And after that, the judgment. This world is set on a head-on course with judgment. And they're going to have an appointment with not only death, but with God. Some of them are going to be sad, and some of them are going to be mad. But I'll tell you what, every one of them is going to bow the knee. Every one of them is going to confess. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how popular they are. You know, some of them, they try all these, you know, the new card that they play now is the identity politics card.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, try to somehow muddy the water up a little bit, somehow deceive through identity politics, you know. And there's some of them that are really bad. And they're intentionally doing what they're doing. Let me throw this in and I'll shut up. The Democratic Party, and I hate to get political, but I really need to, because I wouldn't be much of a watchman if I didn't. The Democratic Party has right now got a liberal activist group demanding that they boycott the AIPAC, which is where we try to help Israel and Palestinians keep killing one another.
Right.
And they're calling for the Democratic Party to boycott it. You ought to look up how many have already agreed to boycott this meeting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary that a liberal activist group demanded that they do it. And already Elizabeth Warren has agreed to do it. Kamala Harris has agreed to do it. Bernie Sanders has agreed to do it. Beth O'Rourke, whatever your name is, agreed to do it. Julian Castro has agreed to do it. Howard Schultz, he's the one over the COVID place, I believe. Nancy Pelosi has agreed. Chuck Schumer has agreed. And Al Ham Omar, the one who wears a blanket on her head or a towel on her head, whatever it is, you know. She's going to agree to do it. And the rest of them will fall in too.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to know it's a sad day when the Constitution is thrown aside and liberal activist group sets the order of how we need to go or what direction we need to take or whatever. I'm telling you, buddy, this thing's about ready to wrap up.
Yes,
now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message today. It certainly helped me,
yes,
encouraged me more than in anything, but also put things in perspective so I could understand my great need of you. Lord, I thank you that every day I have all the help I need,
yes,
by a nail-scarred hand that reaches out and says, let me help you through the day. I sure do feel sorry for those that are determined to live a life apart from Christ and are going, the Bible said, the way of transgressors is hard. Lord, it's so hard. Many of them are taking their lives. They're taking drugs. They're drinking themselves to death. They're doing anything to somehow remove that reality of the fact they need the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for these that are before us. I know they love you. I know they do the best to live for you. I pray your blessings on them. I pray for those that hear this message on the internet. I pray they'll be drawn closer to you.
Yeah.
I know the Bible says draw nigh to you and you'll draw nigh to us. I pray they will. Whatever, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the privilege to stand for your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Like this, everybody stand. Like this, Brother Jerry, please, and Sister Sharon. Just a verse of invitation on him. You don't have to do anything. I will always give an opportunity. You never know what God has done. Like I said, I'm just a messenger boy.